If we do not permit any independent dabbling in the political, we shall on the other hand encourage every kind of report or petition with proposals for the government to examine into all kinds of projects for the amelioration of the condition of the people. This will reveal to us the defects or else the fantasies of our subjects, to which we shall respond either by accomplishing them or by a wise rebutment to prove the short-sightedness of one who judges wrongly. Sedition mongering is nothing more than the yapping of a lapdog at an elephant. For a government well organized, not from the police but from the public point of view, the lapdog yaps at the elephant in entire unconsciousness of its strength and importance. It needs no more than to take a good example to show the relative importance of both, and the lapdogs will cease to yap and will wag their tails the moment they set eyes on an elephant. In order to destroy the prestige of heroism for political crime, we shall send it for trial in the category of thieving, murder, and every kind of abominable and filthy crime. Public opinion will then confuse in its conception this category of crime with the disgrace attaching to every other and will brand it with the same contempt. We have done our best, and I hope we have succeeded, to obtain that the goyims should not arrive at this means of contending with sedition. It was for this reason that through the press and in speeches, indirectly, in cleverly compiled schoolbooks on history, we have advertised by sedition mongers for the idea of the common weal. This advertisement has increased the contingent of liberals and has brought thousands of goyim into the ranks of our livestock cattle. Protocol number 20. Today we shall touch upon the financial program, which I put off to the end of my report as being the most difficult, the crowning and the decisive point of our plans. Before entering upon it, I will remind you that I said that the sum total of our actions is settled by the question of figures. When we come into our kingdom, our autocratic government will avoid, from a principle of self-preservation, sensibly burdening the masses of the people with taxes, remembering that it plays the part of father and protector. But as state organization costs dear, it is necessary nevertheless to obtain the funds required for it. I will, therefore, elaborate with particular precaution the question of equilibrium in this matter. Our rule, in which the king will enjoy the legal fiction that everything in his state belongs to him, which may easily be translated into fact, will be enabled to resort to the lawful confiscation of all sums of every kind for the regulation of their circulation in the state. From this follows that taxation will best be governed by a progressive tax on property. In this manner, the dues will be paid without straitening or ruining anybody in the form of a percentage of the amount of property. The rich must be aware that it is their duty to place a part of their superfluities at the disposal of the state, since the state guarantees them security of possession of the rest of their property and the right of honest gains. I say honest, for the control over property will do away with robbery on a legal basis. 52. This social reform must come from above, for the time is ripe for it. It is indispensable as a pledge of peace. The tax upon the poor man is a seed of revolution and works to the detriment of the state, which in hunting after trifling is missing the big. Quite apart from this, a tax on capitalists diminishes the growth of wealth in private hands, in which we have in these days concentrated it as a counterpoise to the government strength of the goyim, their state finances. A tax increasing in a percentage ratio to capital will give a much larger revenue than the present individual or property tax, which is useful to us now for the sole reason that it excites trouble and discontent among the goyim. The force upon which our king will rest consists in the equilibrium and the guarantee of peace, for the sake of which things it is indispensable that the capitalists should yield up a portion of their incomes for the sake of the secure working of the machinery of the state. State needs must be paid by those who will not feel the burden and have enough to take from. Such a measure will destroy the hatred of the poor man for the rich, in whom he will see a necessary financial support for the state, will see in him the organizer of peace and well pledge of peace. The tax upon the poor man is a seed of revolution and works to the detriment of the state, which in hunting after trifling is missing the big. Quite apart from this, A tax on capitalists diminishes the growth of wealth in private hands in which we have and these days concentrated it as a counterpoise to the government strength of the goyim, their state finances. A tax increasing in a percentage ratio to capital will give a much larger revenue than the present individual or property tax, which is useful to us now for the sole reason that it excites trouble and discontent among the goyim. The force upon which our king will rest consists in the equilibrium and the guarantee of peace, for the sake of which things it is indispensable that the capitalists should yield up a portion of their incomes for the sake of the secure working of the machinery of the state. State needs must be paid by those who will not feel the burden and have enough to take from. Such a measure will destroy the hatred of the poor man for the rich, in whom he will see a necessary financial support for the state, will see in him the organizer of peace and well-being, since he will see that it is the rich man who is paying the necessary means to attain these things. In order that payers of the educated classes should not too much distress themselves over the new payments, they will have full accounts given them of the destination of those payments, with the exception of such sums as will be appropriated for the needs of the throne and the administrative institutions. He who reigns will not have any properties of his own once all and the state represents his patrimony, or else the one would be in contradiction to the other. The fact of holding private means would destroy the right of property in the common possessions of all relatives of him who reigns, his heirs excepted, who will be maintained by the resources of the state, must enter the ranks of servants of the state and must work to obtain the right of property. The privilege of royal blood must not serve for the spoiling of the treasury. Purchase, receipt of money or inheritance will be subject to the payment of a stamp progressive tax. Any transfer of property, whether money of other, without evidence of payment of this tax, which will be strictly registered by names, will render the former holder liable to pay interest on the tax from the moment of transfer of these sums up to the discovery of his evasion or declaration of the transfer. Transfer documents must be presented weekly at the local treasury office with notification of the name, surname and permanent place of residence of the former and the new holder of the property. This transfer with register of names must begin from a definite sum which exceeds the ordinary expenses of buying and selling of necessities, and these will be subject to payment only by a stamp impost of a definite percentage of the unit. Just strike an estimate of how many times such taxes as these will cover the revenue of the goyim states. The state exchequer will have to maintain a definite complement of reserve sums, and all that is collected above that complement must be returned into circulation. On these sums will be organized public works. The initiative in works of this kind, proceeding from state sources, will bind the working class firmly to the interests of the state and to those who reign. From these same sums also a part will be set aside as rewards of inventiveness and productiveness. On no account should so much as a single unit above the definite and freely estimated sums be retained in the state treasuries, for money exists to be circulated and any kind of stagnation of money acts ruinously on the running of the state machinery, for which it is the lubricant. A stagnation of the lubricant may stop the regular working of the mechanism. 53. The substitution of interest-bearing paper for a part of the token of exchange has produced exactly this stagnation. The consequences of this circumstance are already sufficiently noticeable. A court of account will also be instituted by us, and in it the ruler will find at any moment a full accounting for state income and expenditure, with the exception of the current monthly account, not yet made up, and that of the preceding month, which will not yet have been delivered. The one and only person who will have no interest in robbing the state is its owner, the ruler. This is why his personal control will remove the possibility of leakages or extravagances. The representative function of the ruler at receptions for the sake of etiquette, which absorbs so much invaluable time, will be abolished in order that the ruler may have time for control and consideration. His power will not then be split up into fractional parts among time. Exactly this stagnation. The consequences of this circumstance are already sufficiently noticeable. A court of account will also be instituted by us, and in it the ruler will find at any moment a full accounting for state income and expenditure, with the exception of the current monthly account, not yet made up, and that of the preceding month, which will not yet have been delivered. The one and only person who will have no interest in robbing the state is its owner, the ruler. This is why his personal control will remove the possibility of leakages or extravagances. The representative function of the ruler at receptions for the sake of etiquette, which absorbs so much invaluable time, will be abolished in order that the ruler may have time for control and consideration. His power will not then be split up into fractional parts among time-serving favorites who surround the throne for its pomp and splendor, and are interested only in their own and not in the common interests of the state. Economic crises have been produced by us for the goyim by no other means than the withdrawal of money from circulation. Huge capitals have stagnated, withdrawing money from states, which were constantly obliged to apply to those some stagnant capitals for loans. These loans burdened the finances of the state with the payment of interest and made them the bond slaves of these capitals. The concentration of industry in the hands of capitalists out of the hands of small masters has drained away all the juices of the peoples and with them also of the states. The present issue of money in general does not correspond with the requirements per head, and cannot therefore satisfy all the needs of the workers. The issue of money ought to correspond with the growth of population, and thereby children also must absolutely be reckoned as consumers of currency from the day of their birth. The revision of issue is a material question for the whole world. You are aware that the gold standard has been the ruin of the states which adopted it. For it has not been able to satisfy the demands for money, the more so that we have removed gold from circulation as far as possible. With us the standard that must be introduced is the cost of working manpower, whether it be reckoned in paper or wood. We shall make the issue of money in accordance with the normal requirements of each subject, adding to the quantity with every birth and subtracting with every death. The accounts will be managed by each department, the French administrative division, each circle. In order that there may be no delays in the paying out of money for state needs, the sums and terms of such payments will be fixed by decree of the ruler. This will do away with the protection by a ministry of one institution to the detriment of others. The budgets of income and expenditure will be carried out side by side that they may not be obscured by distance one to another. The reforms projected by us in the financial institution and principles of the goyim will be closed by us in such forms as will alarm nobody. We shall point out the necessity of reforms in consequence of the disorderly darkness into which the goyim by their irregularities have plunged the finances. The first irregularity, as we shall point out, consists in their beginning withdrawing up a single budget which year after year grows owing to the following cause. This budget is dragged out to half the year, then they demand a budget to put thing right, and this they expend in 3 months. After which they ask for a supplementary budget, and all this ends with a liquidation budget. But, as the budget of the following year is drawn up in accordance with the sum of the total addition, the annual departure from the normal reaches 54, as much as 50% in a year, and so the annual budget is trebled in 10 years. Thanks to such methods, allowed by the carelessness of the goy states, their treasuries are empty. The period of loans supervenes, and that has swallowed up remainders and brought all the goy states to bankruptcy. You understand perfectly that economic arrangements of this kind, which have been suggested to the goyim by us, cannot be carried on by us. Every kind of loan proves infirmity in the state and a want of understanding of the rights of the state. Loans hang like a sword of Damocles over the heads of rulers, who, instead of taking from their subjects by temporary tax, come begging with outstretched palm of our bankers. Foreign loans are leeches which there is no possibility of removing from the body of the state until they fall off of themselves or the state flings them off. But the goy states do not dare them off, they go on in persisting in putting more onto themselves so that they must inevitably perish, drained by voluntary bloodletting. What also indeed is, in substance, A loan, especially a foreign loan. A loan is an issue of government bills of exchange containing a percentage obligation commensurate to the sum of the loan capital. If the loan bears a charge of 5%, then in 20 years the state vainly pays away in interest a sum equal to the loan borrowed, in 40 years it is paying a double sum, in 60, treble, and all the while the debt remains an unpaid debt. From this calculation it is obvious that with any form of taxation per head the state is bailing out the last coppers of the poor taxpayers in order to settle accounts with wealthy foreigners, from whom it has borrowed money instead of collecting these coppers for its own needs without the additional interest. So long as loans were internal the goyim only shuffled their money from the pockets of the poor to those of the rich. But when we bought up the necessary person in order to transfer loans into the external sphere, all the wealth of states flowed into our cash boxes and all the goyim began to pay us the tribute of subjects. If the superficiality of goy kings on their thrones in regard to state affairs and the venality of ministers or the want of understanding of financial matters on the part of other ruling persons have made their countries debtors to our treasuries to amounts quite impossible to pay, it has not been accomplished without on our part heavy expenditure of trouble and money. Stagnation of money will not be allowed by us, and therefore there will be no state interest bearing paper, except a 1% series, so that there will be no payment of interest to leeches that suck all the strength out of the state. The right to issue interest bearing paper will be given exclusively to industrial companies who will find no difficulty in paying interest out of profits. Whereas the state does not make interest on borrowed money like these companies, for the state borrows to spend and not to use in operations. Industrial papers will be bought also by the government, which from being as now a payer of tribute by loan operations will be transformed into a lender of money at a profit. This measure will stop the stagnation of money, parasitic profits and idleness, all of which were useful for us among the goyim so long as they were independent but are not desirable under our rule. How clear is the undeveloped power of thought of the purely brute brains of the goyim, as expressed in the fact that they have been borrowing from us with payment of interest without ever thinking that all the same these very monies plus an addition for payment of interest must be got by them from their own state pockets in order to settle up with us. What could have been simpler than to take the money they wanted from their own people? But it is a proof of the genius of our chosen mind that we have contrived to present the matter of loans to them in such a light that they have even seen in them an advantage for themselves. To such methods, allowed by the carelessness of the goy states, their treasuries are empty. The period of loans supervenes, and that has swallowed up remainders and brought all the goy states to bankruptcy. You understand perfectly that economic arrangements of this kind, which have been suggested to the goyim by us, cannot be carried on by us. Every kind of loan proves infirmity in the state and a want of understanding of the rights of the state. Loans hang like a sword of Damocles over the heads of rulers, who, instead of taking from their subjects by temporary tax, come begging with outstretched palm of our bankers. Foreign loans are leeches which there is no possibility of removing from the body of the state until they fall off of themselves or the state flings them off. But the goy states do not dare them off, they go on in persisting in putting more onto themselves so that they must inevitably perish, drained by voluntary bloodletting. What also indeed is, in substance, a loan, especially a foreign loan. A loan is an issue of government bills of exchange containing a percentage obligation commensurate to the sum of the loan capital. If the loan bears a charge of 5%, then in 20 years the state vainly pays away in interest a sum equal to the loan borrowed, in 40 years it is paying a double sum, in 60, treble, and all the while the debt remains an unpaid debt. From this calculation it is obvious that with any form of taxation per head the state is bailing out the last coppers of the poor taxpayers in order to settle accounts with wealthy foreigners, from whom it has borrowed money instead of collecting these coppers for its own needs without the additional interest. So long as loans were internal the goyim only shuffled their money from the pockets of the poor to those of the rich, But when we brought up the necessary person in order to transfer loans into the external sphere, all the wealth of states flowed into our cash boxes and all the Goyim began to pay us the tribute of subjects. If the superficiality of Goy kings on their thrones in regard to state affairs and the venality of ministers or the want of understanding of financial matters on the part of other ruling persons have made their countries debtors to our treasuries to amounts quite impossible to pay, it has not been accomplished without on our part heavy expenditure of trouble and money. Stagnation of money will not be allowed by us, and therefore there will be no state interest bearing paper, except a 1% series, so that there will be no payment of interest to leeches that suck all the strength out of the state. The right to issue interest-bearing paper will be given exclusively to industrial companies who will find no difficulty in paying interest out of profits, whereas the state does not make interest on borrowed money like these companies, for the state borrows to spend and not to use in operations. Industrial papers will be bought also by the government, which from being as now a payer of tribute by loan operations will be transformed into a lender of money at a profit. This measure will stop the stagnation of money, parasitic profits and idleness, all of which were useful for us among the Goyim so long as they were independent but are not desirable under our rule. How clear is the undeveloped power of thought of the purely brute brains of the Goyim, as expressed in the fact that they have been borrowing from us with payment of interest without ever thinking that all the same these very monies plus an addition for payment of interest must be got by them from their own state pockets in order to settle up with us. What could have been simpler than to take the money they wanted from their own people? But it is a proof of the genius of our chosen mind that we have contrived to present the matter of loans to them in such a light that they have even seen in them an advantage for themselves. 55. Our accounts, which we shall present when the time comes, in the light of centuries of experience gained by experiments made by us on the Goy states, will be distinguished by clearness and definiteness and will show at a glance to all men the advantage of our innovations. They will put an end to those abuses to which we owe our mastery over the Goyim, but which cannot be allowed in our kingdom. We shall so hedge about our system of accounting that neither the ruler nor the most insignificant public servant will be in a position to divert even the smallest sum from its destination without detection or to direct it in another direction except that which will be once fixed in a definite plan of action. And without a definite plan it is impossible to rule. Marching along an undetermined road and with undetermined resources bring to ruin by the way heroes and demigods. The Goy rulers, whom we once upon a time advised should be distracted from state occupations by representative receptions, observances of etiquette, entertainments, were only screens for our rule. The accounts of favorite courtiers who replaced them in the sphere of affairs were drawn up for them by our agents, and every time gave satisfaction short experience gained by experiments made by us on the Goy states, will be distinguished by clearness and definiteness and will show at a glance to all men the advantage of our innovations. They will put an end to those abuses to which we owe our mastery over the Goyim, but which cannot be allowed in our kingdom. We shall so hedge about our system of accounting that neither the ruler nor the most insignificant public servant will be in a position to divert even the smallest sum from its destination without detection or to direct it in another direction except that which will be once fixed in a definite plan of action. And without a definite plan it is impossible to rule. Marching along an undetermined road and with undetermined resources bring to ruin by the way heroes and demigods. The Goy rulers, whom we once upon a time advised should be distracted from state occupations by representative receptions, observances of etiquette, entertainments, were only screens for our rule. The accounts of favorite courtiers who replaced them in the sphere of affairs were drawn up for them by our agents, and every time gave satisfaction short-sighted minds by promises that in the future economies and improvements were foreseen. Economies from what? From new taxes, were questions that might have been but were not asked by those who read our accounts and projects. You know to what they have been brought by this carelessness, to what a pitch of financial disorder they have arrived, notwithstanding the astonishing industry of their peoples. Protocol number 21. To what I reported to you at the last meeting, I shall now add a detailed explanation of internal loans. Of foreign loans I shall say nothing more, because they had fed us with the national monies of the Goyim, but for outstate there will be no foreigners, that is, nothing external. We have taken advantage of the venality of administrators and the slackness of rulers to get our monies twice, thrice and more times over, by lending to the Goy government's monies which were not at all needed by the states. Could anyone do the like in regard to us? Therefore, I shall only deal with the details of internal loans. States announce that such a loan is to be concluded and open for their own bills of exchange, that is, for their interest-bearing paper. That they may be within the reach of all, the price is determined at from 100 to 1,000, and a discount is made for the earliest subscribers. Next day by artificial means the price of them goes up, the alleged reason being that everyone is rushing to buy them. In a few days the treasury safes are, as they say, overflowing, and there's more money than they can do with. Why then take it? The subscription, it is alleged, covers many times over the issue total of the loan. In this lies the whole state effect. Look you, they say, what confidence is shown in the government's bills of exchange. But when the comedy is played out, there emerges the fact that a debit and an exceedingly burdensome debit has been created. For the payment of interest it becomes necessary to have recourse to new loans, which do not swallow up but only add to the capital debt. And when this credit is exhausted it becomes necessary by new taxes to cover, not the loan, but only the interest on it. These taxes are a debit employed to cover a debit. Later comes the time for conversions, but they diminish the payment of interest without covering the debt, and besides they cannot be made without the consent of the lenders. On announcing a conversion, a proposal is made to return the money to those who are not willing to convert their paper. If everybody expressed his unwillingness and demanded his money back, the government would be hooked on their own flies and would be found insolvent and unable to pay the proposed sums. By good luck the subjects of the Goy, 56, governments, knowing nothing about financial affairs, have always preferred losses on exchange and diminution of interest to the risk of new investments of their monies, and have thereby many a time enabled these governments to throw off their shoulders a debit of several millions. Nowadays, with external loans, these tricks cannot be played by the Goyim, for they know that we shall demand all our monies back. In this way an acknowledged bankruptcy will best prove to the various countries the absence of any means between the interests of peoples of those who rule them. I beg you to concentrate your particular attention upon this point and upon the following. Nowadays all internal loans are consolidated by so-called flying loans, that is, such as have terms of payment more or less near. These debts consist of monies paid into the savings banks and reserve funds. If left for long at the disposition of a government, these funds evaporate in the payment of interest on foreign loans, and are replaced by the deposit of equivalent amount of rents. When we ascend the throne of the world, all these financial and similar shifts, as being not in accord with our interests, will be swept away so as not to leave a trace, as also will be destroyed all money markets, since we shall not allow the prestige of our power to be shaken by fluctuations of prices set upon our values, which we shall announce by law at the price which represents their full worth without any possibility of lowering or raising. Raising gives the pretext for lowering, which indeed was where we made a beginning in relation to the values of the Goyim. We shall replace the money markets by grandiose government credit institutions, the object of which will be to fix the price of industrial values in accordance with government views. These institutions will be in a position to fling upon the market 500 millions of industrial paper in one day, or to put up for the same amount. In this way all industrial undertakings will come into dependence upon us. You may imagine for yourselves what immense power we shall thereby secure for ourselves. Exchange and diminution of interest to the risk of new investments of their monies, and have thereby many a time enabled these governments to throw off their shoulders a debit of several millions. Nowadays, with external loans, These tricks cannot be played by the Goyim, for they know that we shall demand all our monies back. In this way, an acknowledged bankruptcy will best prove to the various countries the absence of any means between the interests of peoples of those who rule them. I beg you to concentrate your particular attention upon this point and upon the following. Nowadays, all internal loans are consolidated by so-called flying loans, that is, such as have terms of payment more or less near. These debts consist of monies paid into the savings banks and reserve funds. If left for long at the disposition of a government, these funds evaporate in the payment of interest on foreign loans, and are replaced by the deposit of equivalent amount of rents,